know the type of person he is. Those of you who might not know Judge Adams, I say to you that as a man and as a judicial officer serving as circuit court judge of the 3rd Judicial Circuit, of which this county is a part, for over 30 years, he is a living monument to the traditions and customs and likes of the people of this area. It is my honor and pleasure to present to you at this time the Honorable Hal W. Adams, Circuit Judge of Mayo, Florida.
Brother McMullen, I'm not used to these things. At home, my wife does all the talking. I stay out of practice half the time. I appreciate very much the high privilege and honor it is to be invited to participate in exercises of this nature, which have been founded for the purpose of perpetuating the ideas and customs and habits of the people of this section in other days. I appreciate the invitation from Miss Bolton. It was brought to me by Judge Guy McLean, whom I've known ever since he was a small boy. In fact, I've known Mr. McMullen since he was a small boy. One of the compensations of old age is that you can say, "I knew him when." And you can tell them when, and they won't know any difference. Yeah, 49 years ago, when I made my first visit to White Springs, a good deal of difference from that visit and the one today. Mrs. Adams and myself, with our infant daughter, left Mayo about 3 o'clock on the Florida Railroad. Got to Live Oak, changed over to the seaboard, went to Lake City, got off again, got on the Southern Railroad and got into White Springs, as I would call it, sometime after dark. And as I recall it, we stayed at what was then known as the Culpeper Boarding House. It's gone now. Well, today when I came over with Judge McLean and his fine and splendid wife, we made it comfortably and conveniently and pleasantly in less than an hour's time. You can tell from that how times have changed. When I used to go to Jasper to see Judge Horn, I would go from Mayo to Live Oak, and if I had good luck, I'd catch the coastline about 4:25. Go to Live Oak, and if I had some more good luck and the judge was in a good humor, he would listen at me a little from then on till about 6 o'clock. If we didn't have good luck and didn't get to see him that evening, we had to wait till next morning, stay all night in Jasper, and then go see him the next morning. And if we had good luck and got through before 10:45, we could catch the train and get back to Live Oak and then change again, get on the Florida Railroad, and get back to Mayo a little after dark. That was making a trip of 37 miles. You can tell how times have changed. They have changed from rutty roads, settlement roads, and what we call public roads, to magnificent highways. They have changed from the kerosene lamp to all the magnificent conveniences for lighting now that the people of this modern day know. We have changed from the horse cart, the Jersey wagon, the mule, and the buggy, and the hack, to high-powered automobiles. If you would have told an old-time citizen, for instance, like one in my town, Uncle Joe Winburn, who was 91 years old the other day, if you would have told him back in his early days that things would happen like they happen now, he would have probably proceeded to the courthouse and talked to the county judge about having you examined for your sanity. That's the way things have changed. Well, I know things that I didn't believe would ever happen. They've happened, though, now, and are commonplace. The old days were simple. People had time to be friendly and neighborly. They haven't got that time now. If they have, they don't take it. In the old days, when you met anybody on the highway, both of them pulled outside the road, stopped, talked, swapped news, gossip, and there was a little dirt mixed with it. That made it extra good. It's still that way, though. Now that's all changed too. People run into each other at 70 miles an hour. Everybody closes their eyes. They don't hear any hollering and pain or any breaking glass. Open their eyes, and if you will pardon this expression, some of the men in the car say, "Who in the hell was that anyway?" That shows you how times have changed. And they have changed. This is a modern age. It's a day beyond comprehension. I was in Miami the other day, and I, coming back from the meeting of the Conference of Circuit Judges in Florida, I came through the great international airport at Miami. And just before my plane pulled away, and by the way, that was the second time I'd ever ridden on one of that kind, and I was pretty well scrooched up. A big plane with at least 100 passengers on it took off just as casually as you take off from this place to return to your home, going thousands of miles to its destination across thousands of miles of land and water without any thought of the unusual character of that operation. That's how times have changed. There's another thing that times have changed with, too, and it's being disastrous to the welfare of our country. We have commercialized our country too much. We have commercialized those days that we should look upon as sacred. Christmas time is commercialized too much. The purpose of Christmas and what it means, and of Easter time and what it means, is about to be lost sight of by tremendous thousands of people. This government of ours was framed and founded and developed by people who had faith in God and who were patriotic lovers of their country. They were people who could say, "O God, who is our strength in other days, our hope in days to come." And we got to get back that way. I'm not a preacher, but I have a very deep reverence for things divine. This nation's got to turn around and it's thinking if it's going to keep the strength it's got. It was that kind of people that gave it its strength. And we'll have to keep that kind of people if it keeps its strength. Occasions like this have the convenience of settling people's minds down, turning back to other days when things were not in such a hurly-burly, and thinking of the days when our country was being founded, and making up a resolve in their hearts they want to keep it like it was established. Strong, healthy, vigorous in every way, with the people that have faith in God and a sureness in that faith, and with the patriotism that wants to maintain the greatness of this nation. If we don't keep it that way, we are in for unhappy days. If we allow a nation that does not recognize God, that is materialistic as it can possibly be, if we cringe in fear before such a nation, a God-loving nation such as ours, the clouds will come down upon us, my friends, and you need not be, at least have the idea that that will not take place, because we cannot leave our anchorage and stay safe. We must stay with it. And occasions like this ought to strengthen our purpose in that regard, and our thanks to those who labor and work and plan these occasions should be heartfelt. Thank you very much.
I knew I did the right thing when I asked Judge McLean to prevail upon Judge Adams to come and reminisce with us this afternoon. Let's take what he said to heart, ponder on it, do something about it. Just as we here are trying very, very hard to root out, find, show you the marvelous traditions, the folkiana of our Old South, the old ways of the Old South. And here at this shrine on the banks of the immortal Suwannee River, preserve them forever. Let's give Judge Adams another hand, please. Cousin Jack Parker has been with us all week, and we are so glad that he could stay, and I think it's appropriate for him to whistle his merry tunes for you in the open today. He has to get ready And so I'll call on my lovely cousin Mary Lee Wainwright. Would you sing at this time? Mary Lee has come all the way from Hollywood. We'll fix the piano for you. And we are very, very happy to have them.
For me.
they sing for the joy of singing. And our good colored friends have made our most original contribution to the folk music of America. And this is a very, very fine example of it. Let's give them another hand. All right, Cousin Jack's ready now.
Requested to do Victor Young's Round the World, so I'll have to change it. I'm shortening my program.
I have never heard anybody do this. I don't think you have either. It's very, very unique. He has a range of 4 octaves. And the whistling is here, and his hands control it. Here comes the Methodist choir from Lake City, Trinity Methodist Choir, with a very inspired leader. A.W. Levy is supervisor of music for the county, Columbia County, and we're very, very pleased and happy. He's the choir leader. He's a wonder, you'll see in just a minute. I sure do hate to, well, we'll see. I think we put all four of your numbers on the program, and I'm going to leave it up to you. Let's try two, because we have a long way to go, but I expect the audience will want more than two. Would you like the piano moved around?
I couldn't hear nobody pray.
I couldn't hear nobody pray.
Well,